The Mad Adventurers Society presents...
As we soar through space aboard the Bogwing, I notice an intriguing blip appear on our sensors.
I yell out for the sensor crew to scan for a trap and tell the pilots to bring us in closer. Welcome to another episode of Tales from the Hydean Way. We're your hosts, Ben Gendel
and David Pickering.
This week, we're talking about starships. We're not talking about starships in how to use them. We're not talking about starships along that lines of using them. We're talking about what tales can you tell that are primarily on a starship? What can you tell on a larger starship than a YT? Say you do have a Wayfarer. Say you do have a Corellian Corvette. A Silhouette 5 ship has more people than there is a party. At least usually. Like, a Wayfarer has 10, 12 people as standard crew, let alone a Corellian Corvette, which has between 15 and 150?
Yeah, the spaceship campaign I just wrapped up a few months ago, they were the sort of officer-level crew of a Nebulon B frigate, which has a crew of over 900 people on the ship.
And this is Star Wars. We go up to 17-kilometer-long ships with super lasers on them that can blow apart a planet. There's millions of people on there.
You're flying a city around.
Exactly. It's larger than a fair amount of cities that are out there. There's a huge amount of stories that can be told on there, and we have a huge amount of examples to pull from. It's just that very, very vanishingly few of them, if any, are from Star Wars proper. But, there are so many stories that can have a Star Wars bend put to them that they are phenomenal. Taking a look at repurposing a TV show that is pretty easy to do, take a look at Battlestar Galactica, or the last half of Deep Space Nine. I mean, it's almost the same thing. And the interactions between the crews, where you've got so many different moral questions coming up over how are you treating people. Is there a secret spy on a Rebel cruiser? This would be amazing, because all of a sudden, yeah, you do have Imperial Saboteur running around. You've got to figure it out. Or there's a ship that is constantly dogging you as you come out of hyperspace. Where are they coming from? How are they finding us? Yes, there's a tracker, but a ship's not small.
Speaking as a avid video gamer, my favorite example of this is something like Wing Commander, going way back. But that's a game that's set entirely on cruisers. You're a pilot, but there's a community there. There's people. There's a crew. You fly, you know, sorties and missions in your space starfighters. And it has a very Star Wars feel, especially when you get Mark Hamill into it. But, you know, that's a different story.
Then he moves up and you've got this giant ship. I really like Prophecy. Anyway, the stories behind it. I know I brought it up recently in another episode, but Wing Commander has very rich plots to it. There's so much going on, and it's not so much on the ship, where, yeah, you're having to go protect this transport, trying to essentially do a lot of the things that players would do on the ground, but in space as a giant ship, where the entire party is trying to act as a single unit effectively.
And I think one of my favorite parts about a spaceship campaign, especially a larger ship like that, is that it inspires by just the fact that you have a large ship with a large crew. There's a lot more consequences and responsibility handed to the PCs than they usually have in most role-playing games. You know, the stereotype of a role-playing game is five people who go off on their own to fight a dragon, or, you know, five rebels who go off on their own to sneak into, you know, the third Death Star and blow it up or whatever. With a space campaign like this, you are tied to a spaceship that requires huge crews of people to operate. So your actions matter. If you decide to go flying off doing your own thing instead of covering the escorts, or, you know, cover the bombers as they're going in for an attack run, those are people on your ship that are going to die. Those are people on your ship that are going to be upset with you for flying off to, you know, accomplish your own objective, you know, because you're the hotshot pilot, but you didn't do your job. Or, you know, we had a player in my Nebulon campaign who was the captain. And the poor guy was constantly in a state of stress, because not only did all the other players require him to make decisions that were important, but he had 900 fictional lives counting on his every decision. And I made sure to, you know, remind him of that. If the ship took damage, he'd get a casualty report, and he would, you know, we've lost people. There's wounded, there's dead, and that has an impact.
You bring up a really huge part to this, is that these ships that we're talking about have extra crew to it. Since the players are going to be one of the ones at the top, just so that they feel like they're doing something, they're going to have NPCs reporting to them. Each and every player is going to have NPCs reporting to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the pilot, which will have, like, drive crews reporting to him. The weapons officer is going to have at least a couple weapon emplacements reporting to them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the perfect opportunity for players who are wanting to do something a bit more epic to get out there and be in command of people, do squad-like things on their own ship. Yeah, the level of things that you can touch upon is kind of phenomenal, especially when you start getting into what sorts of troubles can a ship get into.
I think you make a great point. Ships can get into all sorts of troubles, and there's some responsibility that comes with all those NPCs. Just a great moment that sticks out in my mind from doing this sort of thing. The pilot of the squadron leader of the X-Wing squad that was aboard the ship was flying with his crew out to investigate some things that they might have been ships, they might not have been ships, they weren't sure what it was. It was an anomaly. And the captain was on... He didn't want to start an incident because he was worried that if they started shooting, they could start a war with this other species that was in the system. And as a result of that, he told the squadron leader not to fire until fired upon. As a result, direct result of him doing that, several of the pilots of the X-Wings were shot before they had a chance to respond. And that created some great drama. And honestly, it created a little bit of not, you know, antagonistic tension, but some nice role-playing tension between the squadron leader and the captain, who the squadron leader held responsible for the deaths of three of his pilots.
That's a really different sort of campaign feeling.
Mm-hmm.
With a commander career in Age of Rebellion, it's something that immediately jumps out at me as something that you can deal with. Having both the Commodore and the squadron leader, having them on one ship together where they're doing something, that can be really cool. The other aspect to it, though, is you take a look at the relatively classic breakdown of what people do on the bridge of a ship. You've got the scanners, you've got the sonar techs, you've got pilot, you've got the weapons officer, you've got the captain, and you've got the XO who's dealing with everything else the captain doesn't have time to.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether you're looking at Hunt for Red October or whether you're looking at Star Trek. You still have the same basic things that are having to go on in a ship. So whether someone's scanning an asteroid belt or whether someone's just listening the cavitation of submarine propellers, you're going to have someone doing computers checks. You're going to be doing computers reroutings, things along that lines in your campaign. And with that breakdown, you can start planning for interesting things to come up that will exemplify the troubles that are in front of them. Say you have a cat and mouse fight going through the rings of a planet such like Saturn. You've got a crawling corvette and an imperial raider. You're doing this cat and mouse thing. The crawling corvette's trying to get away. You're dancing around all these little rocks. Every now and then you get a good shot, but it's so rare. Everything's moving fast enough that the pilot's going off, and the engineer's constantly trying to get the shields back online or trying to get rid of some of the stress that the pilot is having to put on the ship just to make sure that they aren't running into things. And throwing all this stuff at the players can really ratchet up the tension and show off the different ways that they're all contributing to the one ship, where it doesn't feel like you've got the odd person out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, that's a huge difference between a YT-1300 style ship encounter, ship scene, and a Krellian Corvette ship scene. In a Krellian Corvette ship scene, you've got a crew to deal with. You have something for the talking person to do. If someone's really good at the supporting role for giving boost dice or trying to expand upon areas of expertise, they'd be amazing for being the captain trying to help out and giving crucial advice at proper times. It absorbs the dangling thread that's constantly seems to crop up for me when I'm running smaller scale ship combats and ship scenes. There's something very much for the social characters to do in these encounters.
Absolutely. And I love that the fact that you've got places and that the party can be scattered throughout the entire ship, but they're still together doing and contributing to the whole of the ship, because they're all within the confines of this one crew, this one group, striving together to accomplish things as a crew. So there's always room for characters to, and there's enough stuff that has to happen to get a ship of that size working that there's room for everybody in the party to be able to do something and feel valuable.
As a GM, that's something that I work at, is making sure that everyone has something to do with it. And you're right, having a larger ship means there's just that much more stuff to do. Just taking a look at one of the published adventures, for an example, using Beyond the Rim and the repair of the Crawling Crevette at the end, just the huge amount of different repair things that you're doing and all the different things that you're trying to make it so that that ship can launch properly is fairly phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take a look at an actual ship that's in operation. What's a captain going to be able to do? There isn't an explicit command skill, but you can do charm. You can do aid another. Coming up with those interesting ways of using these skills and coming up with a way to experiment to move these skills forward is pretty fun.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I find really cool about sort of the archetypal tales that you can tell with a starship story is that there's two big focuses, at least the way I see it, two main sources of drama. We've talked a lot about external drama, where, oh, there's a group of bad guys that are coming at us. Oh, we're chasing someone through an asteroid belt. You know, things that are happening externally, the ship is trying to accomplish a goal. But on a ship larger than sort of the YT-sized crew, there's a lot of room for very interesting stories that can be told with internal drama. Oh, somebody's sabotaging the ship. Is it really sabotage, or are things just breaking? Is there a saboteur? I don't know. Or there's a group of our crewmen who have a disagreement with another group of crewmen, and we have to resolve this because no one's getting any work done, and we're kind of dead in the water until we get this fixed.
These are hundreds of people. It's pretty easy to have a small faction needing to be dealt with,
mm-hmm.
whether they're in the weapons group, or whether they're in the engine room, on the bridge, or wherever. There's so many different places for just interpersonal conflict to arise. Well, as an example, say they're a ship of the line for the rebels, as rare as that is. They're doing weapons drills. Something goes wrong and the entire ship scrubs out because of two crews. Now the entire ship is gutted in for these two shifts. How are they going to get those shifts better? How are they going to get those shifts so that the rest of the crew isn't gunning for them, essentially? And how do they keep cohesion within the entire group?
Mm-hmm.
And since they're players, this is going to become their thing, because it's going to affect what they're able to do as players.
Yeah.
Will they be able to get the support that they need at the time that they need it? Especially with the larger ships, I keep coming back to a Rebel Alliance campaign, where you might be on a Crawling Crevette, you might be on a Nebulan B, you might even be up on something like a Moncal frigate. Something big, but not Home One size. And you're going from place to place trying to do things. There are so many different species that are going to be in the Rebel Alliance. We already know of two different sets of species that have it out for each other. You've got the Trandoshans and the Wookiees, and having them show up, or even better and more thematic in some ways, is the Mon Calamari and the Quarren. And just having interspecies conflicts of, you've all been assigned to this ship. We need to make this ship work, otherwise we're all dead. Because the next time an Imperial Nebulan B comes around, we're just going to evaporate because no one's doing the things they need. And the seed of conflict and the seed of where the story needs to evolve from and evolve to is there for you. And is very easy to put in front of the players and say, this is something you need to solve.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely easier for a player to walk away from a plot thread if they're just on a planet somewhere and they can leave and go to a different planet. But if the plot thread follows them on their ship wherever they're going, because the plot thread is the ship and the people on it, it's a lot harder to stay, a lot harder to not feel like you should do that, a lot harder to lose the investment and the interest in the storyline that your GM is weaving for you on the ship.
And it's that investment that becomes crucial. Building it up so that the players are attached to the ship, that they've had some early successes with it, and then that's when the troubles start really happening. That becomes something huge. Or it starts out as a tale of survival. Like, I'm thinking of the first couple episodes of Battlestar Galactica, the new one, of they jump out, they've been able to successfully steal this ship, but now the Imperials are after them, and they've got no idea if the person who had the codes to get the ship is actually on their side or whether they were just trying to set them up, but things got ahead and they're now on the ship with you. Yeah, stealing a ship is a pretty interesting campaign idea because you start off so far behind the eight ball, having to try and get a crew, having to try and get back to someplace to get the ship essentially refitted.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to outwit those who saw you steal it, because we're talking giant ships here. Even a Krullin Corvette is not tiny. With the sensors in the Star Wars galaxy, you are going to be seen. If you're stealing this, someone's going to be coming after you, especially if you're understaffed. It's going to be more interesting in trying to get the story jump-started with these very nasty scenarios hanging over the players' heads. That, yes, you have this really cool ship. Like, you've got a Victory-class Star Destroyer, which requires tens of thousands of people to run it, but you've got a skeleton crew of, say, 600 people, and you have to somehow get it to function. Are you just going to hide out, or are you going to be trying to use the ship as best as you can?
Yeah, the stolen ship idea is one that I really like, and I wish I had thought of that before doing a spaceship campaign, because that's actually something that I would totally have co-opted. Because it takes the normal challenges of running a spaceship and amplifies them and amps the stakes up. And it's great for an edge game because you have so much obligation opportunity built around having this giant money pit that you have to keep fixing up.
Yeah, for an edge game, this is the style of campaign I would have for a pirate group, especially higher ups in a pirate gang. If they're just low-level pirates, I would have them still on their own ship that they're now tied to this crew, which can be a pretty cool thing on its own. But they're higher ups, their obligation is to the ship, and every time it comes up, something's gone wrong, at least a little bit. Like, now a crucial secondary system is broken, and they need to get some money together to fix it. Or they need to somehow be able to steal the right parts.
Right.
One of the things I was just kind of thinking with that is, you're able to really amp up the effects of something. Say a ship takes damage. It comes through, it gets through the armor, and boom, some hull damage is taken. You can really amp that up. In many cases, you can go complete to the Star Trek level of the ship's internal gravity isn't quite up to the task, and you're thrown across the bridge, or whichever room you're in. You can hear explosions happening. You can hear a fire starting off in a particular area, where, yeah, you do have to vent it to vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after a more intense battle. The end of the battle is only half of the adventure. The other half is, how do we save the ship? Because just normal battle damage can be crippling.
Right, exactly.
Kind of going back to what you were talking about, there is so much opportunity for a broken ship to cause drama. Some of the more fun episodes of Sequest, Babylon 5, or Farscape is the ship is broken. Some external thing is happening and we must fix it. Or take a look at the GM screen adventure for Age of Rebellion. The middle adventure is the ship has been taken. We must reclaim it before we go into the black hole that we're circling. And having that sort of ticking clock of, we have something we must do before this point, and we've only got so much time and so many actions we can do. It can be a really intense thing on a ship, because you're on a ship, there's no place else you can go. It's not like it's a quarantined city where if you do things just perfectly, you can escape from the Imperial Court.
Right.
No, you're on a ship, you can't run away. If you do everything just right, it doesn't blow up today.
I like that. Yeah. Good night. We'll most likely blow up in the morning.
Exactly. Being on a giant ship is not... Yes, it's on a giant ship. There's so many moving parts that there's no real way that you can ever be 100% certain that nothing is going to fail. That's one of the reasons why most giant ships, even nowadays, have watches that are alert 24 hours a day. Just in case, if at 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden a steam pipe bursts, you've got someone there who can react almost instantly instead of having to wake up and notice that, yeah, it's a lot more hot and humid in my quarters. Yeah, you can have an alarm go off and the players roused from their sleep. Make it so that things are going on and must be dealt with now.
Yeah, there's definite impetus to do things when your ship is going to explode if you don't do them.
The other aspect is, just from a external combat standpoint, you can deal with larger ships, which make it a more interesting combat. Because large ships can really add a huge amount of flavor to it. The weapons people can really feel a lot more impressive with what they're able to do. Some of the damage and some of the actions that you can take in commanding a weapons crew or an entire weapons battery is pretty impressive, whether you're attacking a large ship or attacking a squadron of starfighters coming in. And some of these things are really, really epic. What are some of the external things that you can run up against in a ship? Because a lot of the things that we're talking about as external issues are, like, we've talked about combat,
Well, what if you find something that, what if you find an abandoned or derelict ship? I mean, I remember there was this interesting, it was weird because there was a trilogy of books where Lando Calrissian was a character. But Lando Calrissian did absolutely nothing at all that in any way impacted or was referenced by anyone else in the plot of the story. His chapters were their own little self-contained book within the pages of a trilogy of other books that had nothing to do with him. But what he was doing was investigating very slowly with C-3PO and R2-D2 and a couple of other people. This gigantic alien spaceship that no one knew how it worked, no one knew what it was, no one even knew how to get on board it, but he just spent the whole story exploring it. And then it had its own little resolution that, again, had nothing to do with the rest of the story, but it was interesting nonetheless. So what if your players find something interesting to go and explore? A spaceship, a space station, a rock that isn't behaving the way a rock ought to behave?
Well, this is your own canon, this is your own galaxy, and now that you're the GM,
mm-hmm.
Have the Vong show up. Have a Vong scout show up.
Yeah.
They're on this biologically propelled rock. What is going on with that? What is all this weird stuff happening? And you can very easily play this up.
Yeah, absolutely. You could totally take any direction you want. And it doesn't just have to be another, oh, hey, there's another bad guy, let's go out and kill him. Oh, there's another bad guy, let's go out and take him captive. You know, like, capture their ship, board it. There are other ways to be interesting with external threats. Or even, it doesn't even have to be a threat. It could just be,
this is something weird that's going on.
Yeah. You found a nomadic species of alien who have a bunch of ships. They're flying through space and they want to trade with you.
You've run across a dreadnought that's flying through space and you see in the cargo hold a lot of people in cryosleep. What's going on with this? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there this ATPT jammed in a hallway?
Right.
There are so many different things that you can do from an exploration standpoint. Well, heck, one of the things that you could be doing is a large exploration ship where you're searching for new planets, but you as a crew have the experience and have the equipment and the know-how on how to explore and figure out, this is a good planet for mining, this is a good planet for this next rebel base, this is a nice planet that does have a minimal amount of life on it, but otherwise is nothing there.
Right. I mean, it's interesting, it's different, it's not the standard RPG shtick, it's something that's new.
And with this, you can do a new planet every adventure. You could kind of do the Star Wars version of Star Trek. Boldly going and trying to figure out where the heck the rebellion can run away to next.
I mean, there was one of the new Star Wars books had to do with a team of people who that was their job. They went and they've scouted locations for the next rebel base. And one of them went missing in this book. But what if you're one of the other ones who didn't go missing? Their missions are top secret. Their missions are super important. And they definitely need a ship to do it in.
Who's to say that it has to be a tiny little YT ship? Why can't it be a Krillian Corvette?
Yeah.
Why can't it be something a little bit bigger? It makes some sense in that you're going out and exploring. Why not have a bit of redundancy and a bit of backup? Being able to go out and deal with a few things instead of having to run away at the first sneeze in space.
Yeah.
One of the other ideas that I was just coming up with is, instead of having to explore out into the vast of wild space, into the half of the galaxy that just apparently is there be dragons here, is why not go deeper and deeper into the core, trying to find new and different ways of being able to have a deep strike mission come after you. Like, you're trying to scout out the defenses of Kua. You're trying to get into Corellian space and have it so that a couple strikes can happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that you can do with the ship. Especially if it's a big enough ship that has a tiny away vehicle on it, such as a shuttlecraft, you could then do a lot of the different campaign and adventure types that are kind of wacky that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, you could even do sort of a submarine-themed campaign, not really, but kind of, what if you're a ship whose main job is to sneak in, collect intel and sneak out by running quiet, by using stealth systems. You know, that's those things exist in Star Wars. They're not quite as complicated as in Star Trek, but, you know, you could have a campaign about people who don't want to be detected on a ship. And that could be really interesting, because suddenly skills like stealth and skullduggery, how, you're applying them to a starship? But yeah, it makes a really interesting story. And can some, you know, it could be really tense when you're floating your ship in between two Star Destroyers, hoping that, you know, you fooled their sensors, you're just hoping no one looks out a window.
Even taking a look at Rebels, they've got the ability to completely mess up a Star Destroyer's sensors. But if things go just the wrong way, they're detected. And if someone looks out the window and sees them, that's not the right ship. Why does that VX whatever have the codes for a Imperial shuttle? Yeah, a visual identification. Yeah, space is big, but that's one of the fun parts. It's Star Wars, so it becomes this nice, huge, high fantasy thing.
Absolutely.
So, is there any final advice that you want to give GMs and players looking to run or play in a Starship-based campaign?
I think my best advice would be to look to the rich history of spacefaring fiction we have as gamers. We have a lot of places to look. We've got Star Trek, we've got Farscape, we've got Battlestar Galactica. If there's a particular type of thing you want to do in space, there's probably something you can look for inspiration and to get ideas, because these campaigns are very different from what you're used to. It's not the standard sort of RPG campaign, but if you can sort of get in the zone and get your head around the differences, they can be a ton of fun, and they can be some of the more memorable things you'll do in the Star Wars system that FFG's cooked up for us.
It's something that I don't normally think of when I jump to Star Wars, but it's, there's so many cool ships out there, there's so many cool things that just are not touched upon by the big six movies that you kind of get a little bit into in The Clone Wars and a tiny bit in Rebels. There's just so many stories out there that are almost pristine in the Star Wars universe that would be fun to play with. We dive through a formation of Imperial Raiders as they refuel above a planetary ring.
I take careful aim with the ship's guns and blast the refueling station dead center. We soar through fire and wreckage on our way to the next tale from the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and I'm on Twitter as at aka Agent Shades.
I'm at Deuterium Ice. We're part of the Mad Adventure Society, an online gaming community that puts an adventure on every table, hosts podcasts, and provides gaming advice. To learn more, visit madadventures.com, where you can also support us on Patreon.
Our podcast is on iTunes, where you can find more episodes and rate us. Drop us a holocom at talesfromthehydianway@gmail.com, and we're on Facebook as Tales from the Hydian Way.